So Liam was talking about teams and sports, and I think we were thinking from the same point on this gospel. Because I was talking about hockey this week. I was talking with Anna about hockey, and she brought up the Las Vegas San Jose series. But I was stubborn, and I said, "Hockey season is over." Because that's a saying in my house when I was growing up, when the Canuck season was over, which happened a lot. We never picked another team to cheer for in my house if it couldn't be Vancouver. So when the Canucks are out, it's baseball season. And I guess the Edmonton Oilers have also been pruned from the vine that is the NHL this season too, sorry to say. So both your team and my team have been thrown away like a branch, and they have withered. Right? Who thought the NHL playoffs could be so biblical? So when Anna and I were talking about hockey, she said, "Did you watch the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 1? They won 7-0 in Game 1. And then they almost won last night, if it wasn't for a disallowed goal in overtime." And Anna said, "They have no stars." And that's true. It is their first year in the league, and they have taken players from other NHL teams. No real stars by any means. They got a bunch of hardworking and tough players from other NHL teams. Players that were pruned from their lineup, essentially. But just an aside, I need to say this. It makes me so mad to think that there could be a Stanley Cup parade in Las Vegas. Everyone would get sunstroke. What was Gary Bettman thinking? He's never thinking. Anyway, back to the Vegas Golden Knights and back to our gospel. This team, these Knights, they have been pruned by other teams and just grafted onto a vine in Las Vegas, and for some reason it's working. It is bearing fruit. Way more fruit than Vancouver, that's for sure. So during Lent, I preached this exact same text, this exact same gospel, and I talked about pruning. And I described it as an uncomfortable process that we must go through, something that makes us stronger. But today, you're going to get another take on this gospel. Now, we haven't pruned plants here for a while in Alberta, have we? I mean, if you think back to last summer, that's probably the last time you pruned something. And it was nice and warm this week, but we're still wondering if we're going to get a snowstorm or a frost. And soon our gardens will be full of growth, and then we will begin the process of discerning which branches to prune. And in our gospel, Jesus tells us of the branch that is pruned, and it falls, the branch that withers, the branch that is gathered together with all the other cast-off branches and is burned. And I'll be honest, I don't want to be that branch. Who would want to be that branch? No one wants to be the branch that is cast into a pile and then thrown in the fire. But you can all take a deep breath. We are not going to dry up and burn like branches in the incinerator if we don't bear fruit. Bearing fruit meaning do enough good deeds or practice our faith perfectly. This is a church where God's grace is at the center. Punishment isn't the focus of the wonderful image of the fruit-bearing vine that we are given in our gospel today. I want to focus on the promise of what I call the fruit of grace. That is what we are shown in our gospel today. But before we talk about the fruit, let's explore the image of the branch. Would you want to feel like the dried up branch? I don't think so. But don't we all feel that way sometimes? Cast away in the scrap heap? We can all feel disconnected. So I want to focus on the vine and the branches as community. Our community, but even the community of the whole world. A community that cannot survive without the strength of the vine, without Jesus. The vine that plunges deep into the ground. That is Jesus, plunging deep into the ground, becoming the main taproot from which all other roots spring. Just as the vine is at the center from which all branches spring. So from the fruit to the branch to the vine to the taproot to the vast network of roots to the earth, one community, one church. And there is one gardener too. It is not the branch that decides to be pruned. Jesus says, "My Father is the vine grower." God does the pruning. And again, I want to remind you that we are not to fear God's giant hedge clippers that are coming to get us if we're not going to bear fruit. That is not what this beautiful image of the vine means for the church today, for us in 2018. Because you see, this gospel was written for early Christians. Christians struggling to carry out the new promises of Christ. A community separating themselves from the corruption around them. Separating themselves from ideology that did not bear fruit. Ideology that ended up crucifying Jesus. So when Christianity was new, as they were mingling in synagogues with Jews that had many years of history, pruning was essential, separating themselves apart from old religion was essential. So when we think about church forming, it is important to note that this gospel is spoken by Jesus at a time in which he was actually saying goodbye to the disciples. He was setting them up to form their own church. So this is an urgent lesson to the disciples. Christ's reimagining some Old Testament imagery of the vine, the branches, and the fruit. He's repurposing it. He gives new meaning to the concept of the vine. In Jesus' day, the scriptures use the imagery of the vine as the chosen people of Israel, or as royal lineage, or even very exclusive wisdom that not everybody has. So Jesus says, no, that's not right. The vine is me, and we abide together. Jesus reimagines an image of exclusion, and he turns it into an image of inclusion. Christ invites us to abide in him today. Abide in me as I abide in you. So when you look at the vine, you see how its branches and fruit are just all one living thing. It's different parts, but one living thing. And if a grapevine, if you were to think about it, if it were to overtake a whole trellis, then it would be really difficult for you to distinguish with human hands where one branch ends and where the vine begins. It seems really like a tangled mess. And especially this time of year, in the early spring, grapevines are brown and lifeless, tangled messes. But come September, with the correct attention and nurturing, there will be grapes everywhere. So communities and churches are really structured in that same way as a vine. Sometimes community can feel like a tangled mess, branches with one main vine just somewhere in the midst of it all, but in the appearing to be dead vine, there is potential to bear fruit nonetheless. And I often talk to people who are outside of the church when I tell them that I'm becoming a pastor, and then it comes down to numbers. They ask me questions about numbers. They say, how many people are going to church these days? And that's one way to look at the tangled mess of vines and branches, but there's another way. You could look at the grapevine in the spring, and you could say, where will there be fruit? That is God's job in this all. Let God do the work, and just know that there will be fruit. And earlier in the sermon, I mentioned that the fruits are fruits of grace. And that is the amazing thing about the image of the vines, branches, and fruit. We have a part in this. The fruit can be our acts. We show God's grace in this world. We are a community thinking outward, stretching out from the vine to offer fruit. So it is appropriate that the fruit is then made into wine, and that too is grace and absolution as we celebrate communion together. The fruit is made and shared at our table, a group of people in communion with each other, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. But then there's this question about fruit. What if some grapes are tastier? What if they are riper? What if they are unblemished and they look nicer? The fruits of grace are equal in God's eyes. And Martin Luther even said so when he talked about the fruits as it was spoken in our gospel. Martin Luther started actually then talking about manure for some reason. He was talking about this particular gospel and the fruits of our labors, the acts that we do. And he said, the action of all Christians is good fruit, even if it were something more menial, like when a farmhand hauls manure. He's still doing that in service to God. That is good fruit, according to Luther. According to Luther, that smelly farmhand was as holy as any nobleman as his day. So take a moment and step back and look at the whole image. A careful and thoughtful vine grower, a strong vine, many different branches, and fruit of equal value regardless of appearance. And that is the image that Jesus leaves us with as he is beginning to say goodbye to his disciples. And earlier in the sermon, I talked about the pile of dried up, withered branches, that troubling part of the text. But one thing is sure about communities and churches. This is true. Sometimes people in communities and churches will feel excluded. And that is the surface reading of this text. A gardener going through the field and just snipping off branches. But for our modern context, there is a message for us who feel like those withered branches that are cast off. If you feel cast out, you must know anything is possible, even being grafted back onto the vine. We are talking about a God who conquered death. I mean, think about it. Anything is possible. There's an NHL team playing hockey in the Mojave Desert. And I'm pretty sure that the vine grower can graft you back onto the vine if you feel disconnected. Amen.